I don't think these disciples really quite knew what they were getting into when they signed up for this with Jesus. We see they had all mixed motives, and now they're going to see Jesus in his glory, three of them, only three. Nine are left behind at the base of the mountain. That raises many questions, but it also is very true to life that some on earth have a deeper relationship with Jesus than others. So I was thinking about this gospel this week and that being transfigured during Lent. What does that mean? You know, that God wants to renew within us our relationship with him on some level as a result of going through something in Lent that may be different than what we expected, as it was for the disciples. Some years ago, gosh, I was still a new priest. You know, there's these cruise ships. How many have been on a cruise? I was on one. I didn't enjoy it very much, but then I had a stateroom alone. Maybe that was the reason. I don't know. But some of the cruise lines need priests because half the crew is Catholic, and they're on the boat for three solid months, if you can believe this, one stop after the other. And so the one I was on went up the inside passage. That was just the one that was open. So I got on in Vancouver, B.C., and I was always seasick with my dad's boats. He had a sloop and a yawl, and I couldn't get anywhere near those, but I figured a big boat like that can't get seasick. So I had patches, two of them, wristbands, Dramamine. I had a great time. I really did. But it was so boring. 4 days of trees and whales, big deal, and then 2 hours in Glacier Bay, and then 4 days of trees and whales, and then I'm back. Anyway, well, that's my homily. What has that got to do with the transfiguration, you wonder? I think that, assuming you had a better experience on your cruise, I think the ideal life, I think, in our minds for many of us would be, if we could only obtain this, would be we find ourselves, when we become aware of our existence at some age, like 5 or 3 or something, you know, we find that we're on earth in a certain family. As we grow, we learn about the world around us and ask questions. We're on a boat, the earth, you know. We're all in a boat together. People get on and off, and we have to make sense of this thing. But we hope that we can get a nice stateroom with a view, you know, hopefully for a first-class berth, you know, one of those big wide rooms with a nice big balcony. We can sit there and have a glass of wine and watch life pass by, and then in a very gentle way, we can get off and go straight to heaven. Doesn't that sound like a great life? Can you get it? Anybody here have a life like that? Please see me after Mass. I can't find one like that. And you know, if you could get that life, it would be meaningless. Meaningless. Who's the first person we're going to see when we die? It's going to be Jesus Christ. And what is he going to show us? Well, we know this from John's gospel right after the resurrection of the dead. He says, peace be with you. You know, in other words, I know you betrayed me, but you know, be at peace. I forgive you. And then he shows them his wounds. I have this picture which I every so often get out for the Transfiguration. Sunday, I picked this up in the Holy Land at Mount Tabor, where Deacon Gonzo is going in a couple of weeks. You should come back with one of these. I brought it back in a tube and then had it framed. And this is actually a picture of Jesus that was taken on the apse of the building, you know, like the curve of this arch, the apse above it. Jesus would be in the center right over the main altar. That's what this is. Not straight, not flat, but curved. And on this side is Moses, smaller, and on the right. And then Elijah's smaller and on the left. And they're all floating, you know, and in light. It's a wonderful image. And you could almost put this out for Easter. But I can't put this out for Easter. And the reason is, that's right. Jesus doesn't have wounds in this picture. He still has to go through something. And I find that I keep this out in my house, not for beauty so much, but because it reminds me that life is what we've been through with someone. And that someone is always Christ. I don't think a week goes by that some tragedy among someone comes to my attention. Sometimes I'm called out, and sometimes I just pray, you know, something will happen. And then the family is called to support the other individual. You know, they go to the hospital, or they pray for them, or they're you're kind to them. You know, it doesn't have to be a sickness, but what have I gone through for love of someone else? And now we're going through something out of love for Jesus, some little thing that we're doing or not doing for Lent, hopefully. This is a sign of love, and it's a sign of preparing us for the involuntary sacrifice that will come to each of us in time. Life isn't meant to be a cruise ship. If I get through life like that, I've blown the whole thing, because I won't have anything to share with Christ on the last day of my life. When he shows me his wounds, it's not to shame me. It's not to say, look what you've done to me. My mother used to say that sometimes. She'd say, but Christ isn't going to say, oy vey, look what you've done to me, you know. He's going to say, this is how much I loved you. And then he's going to show you how he loved you in the story of your life. And then I'm going to say, Lord, I loved you too, but I ran away from every sacrifice you ever asked me to make, you know. And if that's the case, I won't understand as much about God for all eternity. And this is the difference we talk about levels of heaven. It isn't so much the square footage of our house or something. That would be an earthly way of thinking of it. In heaven, it's how much will I understand of the Lord forever. And that is what's being determined now, because now is the time when we have the free will to say yes or no to the daily opportunities that God gives us, and occasional large ones. Most are small and occasionally large. I was at Safeway last week. I got a gift card from somebody here, and I'm trying to use it up. I usually go to Fred Meyer. I was in line behind somebody, and the checker took a really long time. So we chatted and chatted. It turned out her husband had Alzheimer's disease, and she's not a parishioner here. She didn't know I was Cap priest or anything. We were just talking. We were griping about the line, and then we both decided we were both Christians. We better keep our mouths shut. And one thing led to another. I ended up praying for her in line. And then he gave me like 20 Monopoly coupons, and I gave them to her. And you see how God can work in a little thing like that. And that was my mission for the evening, I think. You know, it's just as simple as that. And sometimes we treat people like a piece of furniture that's serving us. And that's not what God wants. It can be big things and little things. You know, as I look back at my life, you know, I spent time taking care of my mother when she was very ill. And I think that most of my priesthood, really, that's the best lesson I ever had about life, more so than any time spent at an airline, in the monastery, you know, and in the seminary, and all these years as a priest. It's those kinds of things that give meaning to our lives. And see, Christ doesn't want to make us suffer, but he wants us to understand him, and you will understand him without a word. Because he's been betrayed. He's the one that made a sacrifice for us. He's the one that gave up everything without expecting any return. He's the one that offered himself, you know, to people that didn't necessarily notice, like all parents do. This is why all these little sacrifices that parents make for their children are really for Christ. And Christ will reward us. And how is he going to reward us? With an understanding of him for all eternity. Without so much as a word, we can look at him and say, yeah, you know what? I went through that too. I understand something about you, Lord. And we're connected with God. Can you imagine having a wired connection forever? Without that suffering, without having gone through something, we may never have that connection for all eternity. And that's the meaning behind a lot of life. And that's why there's nothing wrong with being on a cruise ship, don't get me wrong, but if that's my vision of life, I'm not going to get very far in the next world. And, you know, the disciples, you look at them, and Jesus left 9 at the base, took 3 up with him. The same 3 are going to be in Gethsemane, closer to him. They all ran away. The 3 in Gethsemane fell asleep. These aren't exactly winners, you know. And the 9 at the base didn't see his glory. So they had a little less culpability for running away at the other mountain. Calvary, where Jesus is going. But one came back, John. John was the first to come back. He made the sacrifice before all the others. Judas is the only one that couldn't do it in the end. And because he was the first to come back, he received Christ's mother as his own charge. So we too are called to be faithful to him or to come back if we haven't been faithful. But always Christ will offer us opportunities to make an offering of ourselves for others. Life is not about me. It's not all about me. That's a losing proposition. Life is about someone else, the others in our lives, and ultimately always Christ. So we ask for God's transfiguration of our own journey between Mount Tabor and Mount Calvary and everything in between, to have that great insight of God as to what is truly valuable in this brief time that we live on earth.